13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Let's read down through chapter 13 down through verse number 9. In Hebrews chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them which are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein." All right. Verse number 8, I will try to get down and take a few minutes on verse number 8 as a text verse. And verse number 8 says, I'm sure you've heard it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We'll try to work our way down to that verse, but you pray with me and for me, okay? Father, we thank you today for your blessings. Thank you for the privilege to assemble together, and thank you, God, for those who have come, every one of them, God. We thank you for them. We pray that you'll help them, and may we all be spiritually fed and blessed. God, bless our fellowship and help me as I try to preach now, Father. I pray the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us into all truth, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to try to say something to you this morning from the Holy Bible. Today, the Bible always works. It never changes. It's good for every age. But in every age, there are new things that come up. People always coming up with new things, you know. But it's like I told you Wednesday night. A lot of time people come up with new things. They don't last. People are excited about them for a little while. And I call it like a flash in the pan. You know, it's just here today and gone tomorrow. And that's the way a lot of religious things are. People are excited about things for a while. And then they go off and they get excited about something else, you see. I was telling the people Wednesday night, I'd like to have an old plotter. A mule or a donkey or something like that's just the same all the time. They just work and they're steady and all that. That's the kind of things that I like. The Bible will always be steady. It will be solid. It'll be like a rock. You get your King James Bible and you can't go wrong with that. Amen? So you can always count on the Bible. It's not going to be here today and gone tomorrow. It's always going to be around. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's Matthew 24 and verse number 35. Psalm 119, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's word is eternal. It'll always be here, and people try to get rid of it. Go ahead, let them try to get rid of it. They're not going to get rid of it. It'll always be here. So from the Bible, you get creation. You get creation, you get salvation, you get justification, you get redemption, you get the second coming of Christ, you get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, you get heaven. You get hell, you get how to miss hell so you don't go to hell. The Bible tells us that through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, you miss hell. You get saved, born again, and go to heaven and live forever. So chapter number 13 of Hebrews, of the book of Hebrews, has some strong words for us about Christian conduct. You get saved for free. Doesn't cost you a thing. What must I do to be saved? A Philippian jailer said, and the answer came back to him from the Apostle Paul, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It is called the gift of God in the Bible. It doesn't cost you a thing. It costs God His only begotten Son. He died on the cross for our sins. But after you get saved, God has some words for you. He's got some things that we're supposed to do. See, we all grow up, we've been trained by the world, and the Bible and the world, man, there's a lot of difference there. So you got to listen to what God says in the Bible and what does He want for you to do after you get saved. So He has strong words for us here on Christian conduct here in Hebrews chapter number 13. Whenever you get saved, you're born again, you become a child of God, and that sets you apart. That sets you apart unto God, you see. God has set you apart for Himself. The Bible says God is a jealous God, and He wants you for Himself. He doesn't want us out there in the world. He doesn't want us. He wants us to love Him supremely. He bought us with His own precious blood, the Bible says. That's how God paid for us, with His blood on the cross. And we are not, whenever you get saved, we're not supposed to just add Jesus to our round of activities, you know. No, we are supposed to make Him our Lord and our Savior, our everything. We are to be consumed by His love and by His mercy and by His grace. And we're to talk to Him and, just love Him and hear about Him every day. See, we don't want to add Jesus. He's not just going to be one of the little gods that we have in our life. No, He is the God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Lord. There is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What a thing for someone to say, I'm the only way to God, you see. But you see, He can deliver. He is the deliverer. And so we are to make Him supreme. We are to be consumed by His love and His mercy and His grace. We're to talk about Him. We're to tell other people about Him, see. So anyway, when you become a Christian, you're set apart for God. And God has instructions for us throughout the Bible as far as Christians go, mainly in the New Testament. If you look at these verses, beginning in verse number 1, I'll take some of these verses. We'll try to work our way down to verse number 8 and go over these instructions for us. It says in verse number 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. That is good advice for us, to love your brothers and your sisters in Christ. The Bible says, whenever I first got saved, I went to church a few times and I thought, you know, I kind of like these people here. I like these folks because when I went to church, when I was a kid, we went to church some, but, you know, I wasn't saved and I didn't understand what they were talking about. And so I didn't really get to know very many people that much, But I went to church after I got saved, and I thought, I like these people. I like these people, and I love the people of this church. They are good people. They are good people here. Amen? Do y'all believe that? Don't y'all believe that? Don't y'all believe that there's some good folks here? And none of us are to the place of perfection yet, but God has put good people here in this place. You come back on Sunday night, some of you do. Not all of you, but you ought to all come back on Sunday night. But I know everybody's not going to. But we'd like for you to come back. You'd learn a little bit more. God would sprinkle a little bit of water in your soul every time you come to church. You come to church, you say, well, nobody got saved, and you know, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. But you know, God did a little bit for you. I heard a guy say it one time, God sprinkled a little bit of water in your soul every time that you come to church, you see. You ought to try to come to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and God will do something for you. It might not be an earth-shaking event or anything like that. I don't know how it was when you got saved, but it was kind of like an earth-shaking event when I got saved, at least for me, in my heart, because God did something in my heart. The Bible says we are to continue, let brotherly love continue to love the people, your brothers and your sisters, you see. And so that's good advice for us. We're to continue in that. Number two, he says in verse number two, something else we're to continue to do. He said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Well, there's a guy in the Old Testament, his name is Lot, and two men came to his door, and they turned out to be angels. He didn't know that at first, but that's I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Probably not. probably not. It may never happen to you, but you, the Bible says here you need to be careful. So what he's saying here is that we ought to continue to minister to strangers. We kind of do that. We send money to missionaries, and they minister to people that we have never seen and may never see, you know, in this life. So if you're not taking part in that, you ought to take part in sending money to missionaries. You ought to support your church. You know what? If we don't have a church here, we can't send out any missionaries, you see. A lot of people, they conveniently forget about those things. People take vacations. I'll start meddling here just a little bit. They go to different places and they take vacations, and they conveniently forget whenever they come back to put their offering in. Myself, I wouldn't go on a vacation if I couldn't do that, you see. But we need to continue to minister to strangers and people that we don't know about. And verse number three goes on with it. He says in verse number three, remember them that are in bonds. You know, there's a lot of people in bonds. Bonds are bondage. There are people out here probably maybe on this very street right here. They are bound by different kinds of things, like alcohol. They're bound by drugs. They're bound by all kinds of other things. We need to remember those. The Bible says we are to minister to them where we can. He says, remember those that are in bonds, bound by addiction, people in nursing homes, people in jails, and people in prison. They are bound, and you say, well, they deserve what they got there. Well, maybe they did, but you know what? We ought to minister to them anyway, wherever we can. And so we need to remember and continue to do those kinds of things. All right? So we're to remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Who knows? It may be only by the grace of God that you're here that you're not suffering those things. It may be only by the grace of God that you are not bound by alcohol, or you are not bound by some kind of addiction or something like that. It was only by the grace of God that you're not bound by these kinds of things. Or maybe it's by the grace of God that someone came by and someone helped you. Someone brought you to church, and I don't know where I would have been if it wasn't been for my wife who went to church, and then Brother Mayfield came to my house and gave me a little gospel message. Just seemed like such a simple thing. I'm sitting in a little one-room house, sitting on a little stool there, and Brother Mayfield, an old man, 84 years old, standing up and telling me about the Lord. And I'm praying to God myself, and I'm saying, God, please don't let Brother Mayfield leave without asking me if I want to be saved, because I'll say yes if he will. I said some words, something like that. See, it was by the grace of God that someone came by my house. Someone came by my house and gave me the gospel, see. Amen. So don't ever take it for granted that you are free from these things. That you're not bound by some addiction or something. You might have a besetting sin. Like I said in Sunday school, you may have a besetting sin, but you're not bound, and you're working on getting free from that besetting sin, you see. Just keep on working at it, and God will help you to get over those things. We're to continue to do these things. Continue to love the brethren in verse number one. Continue to minister to strangers that you may never see. And verse number three, to continue to minister to those who are bound. And then verse number four is good advice. We're to try to continue to have a good marriage. He says in verse number four, marriage is honorable in all. So that means that marriage is an honorable thing. It's a good thing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 22, it says, what does it say? It says, it says it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Jonathan, what does it say there? I told you when you got married. it says that it's a good thing to have a wife, for a man to have a wife, see. So he says that we're to continue to have a good marriage, and marriage is an honorable thing. That is for a man and a woman to have to be married. Not two men and not two women. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter number 2, and we'll read some verses there about the first marriage. Genesis chapter number 2. All right, it says in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 21. Let's start reading verse number 21. It says, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Verse number 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That's a man and a woman. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 4. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 4. Here's Jesus speaking. Matthew 19 verse number 4. "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" See, he didn't make anything else. He didn't make anything in between. Verse number 5, "And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." See, it's a man and a woman, and all this other stuff is not any good. So he says there, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You see, these are particular sins, and I want to tell you two or three things about these things before I move on. Number one, these particular kinds of sins he's talking about here can be forgiven. In the Old Testament, they could not, but in the New Testament, they can. I'd point you to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, where it says there, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." All of these things can be forgiven, and they can be cleansed and made clean. Somebody says, "Well, I just believe God, I have sinned so bad that God cannot forgive me." Let me tell you something. You have not committed the unpardonable sin. You have not committed the unpardonable sin, and God can forgive all sin. It doesn't matter what it is. It does not matter how bad it is. It may be bad to us, but God, he already knows all about these things. And all these things can be forgiven, and they can be cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Number two, listen carefully. First, I said these sins can be forgiven. But I say, number two, that these sins, they last a long time, and they hurt people. They hurt people, you see. Do you understand what I mean when I say this? Sin has long arms. Sin has long arms, and it lasts a long time. It lasts a long time. So remember those kinds of things, especially young people. So we should do our best to have an honorable marriage. It is an honorable thing for a man to take a wife. Y'all hang on just a minute. I was looking at Jonathan a minute ago there because I was just joking with him because whenever he got married, him and Krista, I gave him this verse. Here's what I was thinking about. Proverbs 18:22, just listen to what it said. It said, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." That's what I was trying to get. "And obtaineth favor of the Lord." You know what that means? That means God wouldn't mind if the Pope got married. As a matter of fact, he ought to get married. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Bible says the qualification for a man to be a pastor, a bishop, is to be the husband of one wife. But yet we have a whole group there who said, "No, you can't get married." You can't get married? The Bible says get married. Amen. If you're going to be a pastor, have a wife. Right. It's a good thing for a man to take a wife. It's an honorable thing. For a man and a woman to get married, but nothing else. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. It's a shame and a disgrace. And it brings the judgment of God upon the United States of America. See? Amen. Back over to Hebrews chapter 13. marriage is honorable. It is an honorable thing. Look at verse number 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, that was Brother Marvin's text last week, for those of you who were here. So I'll just go quickly over it. But let me tell you something, folks. It's one of the great promises of the Bible, that God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter where you are, whenever you get saved, no matter where you are, where you go, how old you get, whatever happens, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You say, well, what if I do something wrong? What if I fail? And you probably will. He will not leave you. You will not lose your salvation, you see. He says in verse number 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know what? God did not send all the evil into the world. He gets blamed for it, but God didn't send all the evil into the world. But he said this. He said, I will be your helper. I will send you a helper. I will send you a comforter. Even though he did not bring evil and sin into the world. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He did not bring death, destruction, disease, and all these things into the world. Mankind brought them into the world. Adam and Eve brought them into the world. But God said, they're here, and so I will help you. I will be your helper through all of these things. So don't be blaming God for the bad things that happen to us in our life. I'm sorry that bad things happen sometimes. At least they seem to be bad. But I sometimes tell people that God is the only one who can bring something good out of something bad. Amen. He can straighten things up. He can straighten things up. He said in verse number 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse number 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I take that as being words for the pastor. And I take that where he says there, remember them that have the rule over you, as being responsibility. Responsibility. It's instructions for the pastor, but the pastor is not supposed to be someone who bosses people around, but he takes the responsibility of leading people and feeding them and watching over them and protecting them, you see. So he says in verse number 7, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of the Lord. Let me stop there for just a minute, folks. And I don't know if I could tell you what a privilege it is to be able to stand up and say something from the Bible, and to have people who will come and listen week after week. What a great privilege it is. And I'll tell you what, you cannot imagine, folks. You cannot imagine until it happens to you. If you stand up and speak some words to a group of people, and then someone raises up their hand and said, I'd like to be saved. Man, you can't imagine the thrill that it is. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you say, well, didn't seem like a big deal to me. Well, you ought to be up here. Amen. I mean, for someone to raise their hand and say, I'd like to be saved, and they come up and they get saved. Man, I mean, it's just awesome, you see. It's just awesome. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of men, and I'm just excited. I'm excited. Oh, man. But anyway, he says, who have spoken unto you the word of God. You see, the Bible, the word of God always works. There's things that they're going to come and they're going to go. They got new Bibles and they've got all kinds of Bibles. There's 250 different kinds of Bibles out there. Let me tell you something, folks. They ain't none of them any good except this one right here. Amen. This is the only one. Amen. The rest of them are worthless and they're no good, and they ought to be used to start a fire with, you see. This thing right here, the Bible, will always work. The Holy Bible. That's what I'm talking about, a King James Bible, when I say the Bible. There's just all kinds of things that come up out there, but they don't last, You see, they're not going to last, but the Bible's going to be here. It's going to stay with us, you see. Amen. He said, remember them that have the rule over you, whose have spoken unto you the word of God. If you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, you're a missionary, don't ever forget, don't ever get over the thrill. I'm always a little bit scared. I'm always a little bit nervous whenever I get. I can never come to church. I don't know if I'd like to or not, but I always think about what would it be like to come to church and not have this nervous feeling I got to get up and preach. How would it be like to just come to church, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to listen? I have no idea. I have no idea how that would feel. But all of you folks that are teachers, or you're going to be a preacher or a missionary, don't ever forget what a privilege it is to stand up. Amen. I don't care if you got 2 people or 5 people or 10 people. Man, you want to do your very best. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ preached his greatest sermon to one man. His name was Nicodemus. Amen. There was a man of the Pharisees in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and it goes on. But he preached his greatest sermon to one man, another great sermon in John chapter 4, to one woman. A great sermon just to one people. You don't always have to have a great crowd. One is a good crowd. 2 is a good crowd. Ever how many you have in front of you, do the best that you possibly can. You don't want to say, well, there's just a handful here. I always say, can you folks, you know, if it just got a handful, can you take the whole load? Should have dumped the whole load on you, you know? Anyway, he says in verse number 7, remember them but have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Now see, the pastor, he ought to, I'm a poor one, I'm sure. The pastor ought to be an example so that the people looking at him, and they should say, well, he does this and he does that. And so I ought to follow his example, and maybe I can do what he does, or maybe my kids will turn out like his, you see. I've got some kids here. Well, here's one here and here's one over there. So see, you can look at them and say, and then I got some more here, grandkids, whole row here, except one on the end here, and some more over here, see. And look at them. That's what he's saying here. Whose faith follow, and say, well, he did this and he did that with his kids. Maybe mine will turn out pretty good too. They'll probably turn out better than mine did. It says preachers don't have perfect kids. You know, y'all all know that, don't you? Sometimes it takes people, preachers, and preachers' kids a long time to get their. I said it like this, to get their head screwed on straight. Is that right? Yep. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. We'll take verse number 8 there and say a few words about it. Verse number 13, it says, I wonder, why is that verse in there? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, for 7 verses, he's been giving us some instructions for Christian living on what to do. And then all of a sudden he puts down there, all of a sudden just said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that? I think it's maybe like this. If you have trouble doing what you're supposed to do, then look to Jesus. He's always there. He will never change. He's always standing there. He's always there with his arms out. He's always there. You may not be able to do everything that you're supposed to do in the Christian life. Do the best you can, but here's Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same. He will never change. He will never let you down. He's not going anywhere. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I think maybe that's why it's stuck in there. And also for the next verse, verse number 9. Verse number 9, I don't have time to go there today, but you see, I just have to move on here because of time, but let me just give you these 3 thoughts right quick. Jesus Christ, number one, is the same. Well, I should back up and say there are some things about Jesus that are not the same. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's not in the grave anymore, is he? He's not walking on the water anymore. He's not preaching to crowds anymore. What he's talking about is like this. He is the same in these areas. Number one, he's the same in his character. He's the same in his character. He is God in the flesh. That's what you call the incarnation. The greatest verse in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 says, "And without controversy, God was manifest in the flesh." God became a man that he could bear our sins. Listen carefully. Your Creator became your Savior. Did you know that? Your Creator, God, became a man and became your Savior. That's Jesus Christ. I hope some of our folks will learn this song. Down from His glory. Anybody know that song? Down from His glory, ever living story. Our God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to this world a stranger, a man of sorrows, pain, and agony. You know why he was a man of sorrows? Because the sin of this world touched him. It touched him on the outside, and it touched his heart. So I would say, first off, Jesus Christ is the same in his character. I would say, number two, Jesus Christ is the same in his charity. Charity is what he does for others. He gave his life on the cross. He's always wanted to help. See, we all mess up, but he's always there to help us in his charity. Charity, love with shoes on. It's what you do for other people. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's part of his character. That's his charity, what he does for us. And so he's the same in his charity. If you'll flip back there to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. I could quote it for you, but I want you to look at it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, he's always there. And I'll tell you what, folks, sometimes, maybe most of the time, when we're at our worst, he's at his best. He's at his best. He's the same. Jesus Christ is the same in his character, in his charity. And I'll just, he's helping people 24/7, 365 days a year, century after century. God is helping people. I would say this last. Jesus Christ is the same in his conduct. When I say that, I don't mean that he's always doing the same things over and over. I mean in his conduct, but I mean this, that he always does what's right. He always does what is right. He cannot do otherwise. Anything that he does is right. The Bible says in, Genesis chapter 18, verse number 25, Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Whatever he does, it's going to be right. Like this, God cannot lie. Whatever he says is truth. Take your Bibles and just turn back a little bit there to chapter number 6 and verse number 18. Chapter number 6 and verse number 18. Chapter 6 and verse number 18 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You see, God cannot lie. It's not that God doesn't want to lie. It's not that he wants to lie, and maybe he could, but he just doesn't want to. It's not that. I mean, that's the way we are. I could say, "Well, I would never lie to you," but let me tell you something, I could. It'd be possible for me to lie to you. Or you might say, "Well, I'd never lie to you," but you might. It's possible that you could, but you know what? It is not possible that God could lie. It is impossible. It'd be like this if I said, "It is not possible for a man to bear a child." It is impossible. He doesn't have the equipment. It's impossible for him to do that. God cannot lie. It is impossible. He cannot do it. He is perfectly righteous forever. He's always done the right thing. From eternity past all the way out into the future. Forever. He will do the right thing. He is the same in his conduct. We might say, that what I would say to you in closing is this, that in the end, everything that God has promised will come to pass. But you know what? You might look around and I might look around and we could say, well, I just don't see how it's going to work out. I just don't see how things are going to work out right or good. You see? But everything in the end, God will see to it that every promise that he has made, he cannot lie. And so everything that he said, everything that he has promised, he will bring to pass, even though we might not be able to see it right now. We can't understand how it's going to come to pass. One day you'll be in heaven and you'll forget all about the bad things that happened down here. You won't be sitting around and asking God why this happened or that happened. You'll forget about it. You'll be in heaven for all eternity, you see. He will work everything out for our good. And every promise that he's ever made, he will keep. He cannot lie. Jesus Christ is the same in his conduct. He's God. He's God. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment.